I'm sorry, excuse me. I don't want to say anything to offend anyone out there. So, what I'm going to talk about is because I myself am in an interracial relationship. So, interracial relationship meaning two people of different races coming together and being a couple and being intimate with one another and loving each other, which probably about 30, 40, even 20 years ago, people were discriminated against, and it was just taboo to be in a relationship with someone outside of your race, meaning black and white people, white and Asian, anything like that. And I'm going to focus a little bit on what it's like to be in an interracial relationship and what my experiences are, and then we're going to just groove along like that. So I pulled out some articles, basically lists, because now these days millennials are obsessed with creating lists. Lists as in like lists. Sorry, I have a lisp, so it's so saying lists is kind of difficult for me, but millennials like to make lists because I guess our attention spans are so short that it's just easier to just click next and next and next to see the next another picture. And the same thing goes with videos. Now people are saying that you have to make videos in order to keep people's attentions on you and to advertise yourself. But yes, lists. So I found a list called The Best Things About Being in an Interracial Relationship. This is on cosmopolitan.com, and I found that I actually related to a lot of the things on this list. So number one is you are always learning. And what I'm going to say about that is I'm definitely always learning, and even the other person in my relationship, my boyfriend, I guess, is always learning about my culture. In fact, I'm Vietnamese American, I should say. I was born here, so I was born a citizen, and both of my parents actually immigrated from Vietnam during the Vietnam War. So obviously my culture is very different. I've struggled with having to integrate things from the American culture that I live in and the Vietnamese traditional culture that I also have at home. And it's really difficult for me sometimes because my parents are very strict. My father is a little bit more lenient and he's more adaptive to the American ways, but my mother definitely, she is very traditional. It was very hard, in fact, for boyfriends of like all of my past boyfriends, to gain her trust and to get her to like them, because her vision for me was to marry a traditional Vietnamese man. So that also means that there the option of me being a lesbian or in other words gay would definitely send my mom into a frenzy, and she would possibly disown me as a child. So now I'm actually dating a white American male. So I feel like it was hard for her to grasp that concept. And all of my past boyfriends were actually white as well, except for my first one. But up until now, my mom has always ignored, completely almost just distanced herself from all of my exes, because she didn't feel like she connected with them on an emotional and social level. Obviously, there's a language disconnect, and she does speak English. She speaks in English pretty well. It's a little broken, but she's always felt like she wanted me to be with at least an Asian man. At least. So if it wasn't going to be a Vietnamese man, she would have preferred Korean or Chinese or something of that sort, because she felt like people with Asian culture will be able to relate to her and our culture better. But I feel like, yes, that's the case. But also at the same time, it's good because now my mom is actually learning to communicate with my boyfriend. And it's they have an interesting relationship that I will not understand. And, you know, she loves him and it's fine now. It's fine. But it was hard. It was definitely very hard. And he worked very, very hard to get to the point where my mother acknowledged him as my boyfriend. In the past, none of the guys I dated, my boyfriends, none of them, she would not refer to them as my boyfriend. So, yeah, that's basically how it all began, I guess. But now, what's interesting about it is that actually my boyfriend actually shared an interest in Vietnamese culture, and that's why my mom felt like she wanted to actually communicate with him, because she saw that he respected my culture. And while I was as a single female, I was looking for someone single girl, I was looking for someone who would definitely respect my culture. And since I am first generation Vietnamese American, I definitely hold on to my language and my culture very, very honorably, because I want my children to know Vietnamese. I speak Vietnamese. I wouldn't say 100% fluently, but I speak better than a lot of people who are born here because I really try. My grandmother didn't speak any English, doesn't speak any English, so I have to communicate with her. And she raised me, so I'm very fortunate that I had the option to learn a second language from birth. So, and I think it's important to know a second language. But aside from that, my boyfriend is actually, I'm teaching him Vietnamese very slowly, and he's totally into it, and that's a good feeling. And what I mean, and what that means is that he's willing to learn about my culture. And what I'm actually really excited about is that I'm going to meet his family on Thanksgiving. So I'm kind of nervous because I haven't really been able to celebrate an American Thanksgiving, because not going to lie, my parents would rather go to a Chinese restaurant or a Vietnamese restaurant, or my mom would rather cook a traditional Vietnamese dinner than eat like roast a turkey or stuffing or cranberry sauce or whatever you Americans like to cook for Thanksgiving. I haven't experienced that, at least to an extent. I've had parties that are thrown by the school and stuff like that, so I have had turkey. But what I'm excited about is I'm excited about going to visit his family and being part of an actual American Thanksgiving, being able to eat a turkey and just pig out and see his entire, or see family from other places come together. Because yes, my family does celebrate Thanksgiving, but it's not the same. I wouldn't say otherwise. But yeah, so I'm excited about that, and that's something new for me. So in that aspect, I'm learning from him and his family eventually. And other than that, like, I'm gonna talk about what he recently experienced was, we had Lunar New Year just a month ago, and he got to eat some of the traditional foods that my mom makes. Not just New Year's, but just on the daily, I'm constantly feeding him all these weird, he calls them smelly foods because they do smell weird. Vietnamese food is not like the best smelling food. In fact, we have this sauce that we call nước mắm, which is, it's literally fish sauce. So it smells very fishy and it reeks, and you do not want to spill it anywhere because the smell will just stick to you and it's not a pleasant smell. But yes, Vietnamese people, our food isn't exactly the most pleasant smelling food. But to me, obviously, since I've been eating it since I was a child, I I think it smells delicious. There's also this fruit called the durian fruit. It's this big, exotic, spiky fruit that, if when you open it up, it has pods of custardy filling. It's really hard for me to describe over the radio with just my voice. But if you look on YouTube, just search durian and a bunch of... I actually went on a spree one time because I thought it was hilarious of people forcing other people to try durian because it apparently it smells like hot garbage or farts. I mean, but to me, it smells like dessert. So, yeah. I'm always learning. He's always learning. Being part of an interracial relationship is a process of learning. And not just that. Any relationship, there's a learning process, getting used to other people's routines and stuff. And just being part of an interracial relationship, the routines are just a little more drastic, I feel like. But then, okay, so we're going to go back to this list, and let's go on to number 2. Your relationship pisses off racists. Okay, so... I've never thought about that, but I feel like I think it's a negative way to look at interracial relationships because, yes, it might piss off people who don't believe in interracial relationships, which is starting to dissipate, by the way. People are starting to be more accepting of it, but it's definitely racism is still there, and it's still a thing. But back to the topic of interracial relationships, I feel like I don't think that's a positive thing, but yes, it might even cause conflict with people. I have not yet to experience that kind of racism as just a Vietnamese girl myself. People haven't been discriminatory to me. And I haven't experienced that yet. And I feel like that's a great part of us, like the millennial generation, is that everyone is so accepting. And I have a lot of Vietnamese friends, and I have a lot of friends of other races. And it's still, that's the beautiful thing about our generation, is that there's so much diversity. So, number 3, to quote Aziz Ansari, if you guys don't know Aziz Ansari, he's an Indian comedian, and he plays... I forgot his character, but he plays a role in Amy Poehler's Parks and Recreations, and he's hilarious. But his quote is, "Anytime you have sex with someone of a different race, think about that for a moment, because nothing feels better than orgasming while thinking about the process we've made in civil rights in this country." And actually, I fell in love with that quote because it's so true. I don't think about it on a daily basis because to me, being... in an interracial relationship is normal. It's not something that I think about, but if you just put it into that perspective, it's true because civil rights happened quite a few years ago, and there's still a little racism out there, but we've progressed so far, and it's the progression that we've made is beautiful, and I feel so accepted in my community. I'm glad that's there. And to be able to love someone of a different race is just, to me, I'm glad that I can. And I love it. Okay, so number 4. Yes, the beautiful children, of course. Okay, I could talk about this for days. Probably not. But interracial babies, I think they're beautiful. And they are. In fact... And not to rule out people, babies that aren't interracial, but for me specifically, I feel like they have an exotic look to them because, of course, exotic is such a taboo word, but I can't think of a better one right now. But yeah, I think they're beautiful. One of the reasons why I date outside of my race is just so difficult to talk about. Not difficult, but it's hard to talk about it without thinking that you're offending someone, but I want half white children. That's just my preference. I'm allowed to have a preference, and everyone's allowed to have a preference, but I think that even my parents, my mom, we in Vietnamese we call these children Lai. It just means half something else, or not just half, partially a different race. And even to my mom, she thinks that interracial children are beautiful, and I'm glad about that. But it's just, you see, you don't get the same look, I guess, if you I'm not gonna go on with this, but what I'm gonna say is, it's true, interracial babies are beautiful. So numbers, I'm gonna skip a few because I feel like they're not relevant and not as interesting. So number 6, it's nice to have an ally against racism outside of your race. Okay, for me, I don't really think about racism on a daily basis because racism isn't a thing that goes through my mind, because I'm not offended by racist jokes or racial anything, and I respect people of other races. So I don't really think about that. But if you, I'm going to put myself self in the perspective of the person writing this article, and I get it. So I think that it's not about dating because you're of a different race. It's not about fighting racism, but I feel like being in an interracial relationship is more about just loving another person. So I'm not going to get into that. Number 7, when you hang out in packs, it looks like United Colors of Benetton ad. Okay, so I don't know what that is, but what I'm going to say is I'm going to take it out of the context of interracial dating, and I'm going to put it in the context as, yeah, when I hang out with my friends, I have friends of all different races, and what it looks, it's just everyone, you know, those ads for colleges where they put people of different races on the internet, and just to advertise their school as a diverse school. It kind of looks like that, but my social group, yeah, it's nothing out of the ordinary for me to have friends of different colors. But yes, so it's time for a break, and when I come back, I'm going to continue with this list and continue talking about being in an interracial relationship and more about what it's like actually having interracial parents, and even just diversity on a different level doesn't have to deal with race. So you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Cool Kitten on The New Normal, which is on Mondays from 5 to 6, just next week, I suppose, because next week will be my last show, which is really sad. But yeah, so stay tuned, and I'll be back with you after the break.
The average American spends 40 hours each year stuck in traffic. Car accidents are the leading cause of death among young people ages 15 to 29. All this can be prevented by carpooling. Carpooling cuts commuting time in half. In California, there are high occupancy vehicle lanes and save time in commuting. As for the environment, carpooling twice a week will remove 1,600 pounds worth of greenhouse gases. Going green by carpooling will also save you a green in your wallet. The average carpooler can save as much as $600 each month. Carpooling reduces the amount of cars on the road. Literally, the less cars, the less risk of an accident. Who doesn't love safety? This public service announcement has been brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio.
DJ Cool Kitten again, coming at you live from radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to The New Normal, my show, where all the where I talk about what all the cool kids are doing. And this week's topic is hashtag melting pot. And I'm talking about how millennial society is now merging together from different races and becoming one whole big melting pot of diversity, for lack of better terms for it. But what I was just talking about was this list that I found on cosmopolitan.com called The Best Things About Being in an Interracial Relationship, because I myself am in an interracial relationship, and I think that's great. And I'm going to finish off this list, and then we're going to start talking about some of the struggles of being an interracial relationship, and then so forth. All right, so I skipped a few, and I'm going to read about, I'm going to read you number 9. You see the world through a different perspective. And this is very true. I feel like it's on the same as what I talked about earlier, was when you're in an interracial relationship, you're constantly learning. And when you learn more things about the other person's culture or anything at all about them and their routine, you start to think in a different perspective, because now you know these things. For example, I think that even actually my boyfriend went to Vietnam himself. I'm Vietnamese, if you guys don't know. I've been talking about it for quite some time now, but he went to Vietnam and actually experienced Vietnam before he even met me. So he already himself gained this perspective of my culture that I was naturally thoroughly impressed with, because no one I've dated before has ever put in that kind of effort. But it wasn't even effort, because he was already interested in it. So he already had this opinion and he had this perspective of my culture. And because of that, he gained the respect and trust of my mother, my very traditional Vietnamese tiger mother. For those of you who don't know what a tiger mother is it's normally used to describe Asian mothers, because they are notoriously more strict and tough than, I guess, American mothers. Again, these things can come off as perhaps offensive, but I'm not trying to be offensive. It's just tiger mothers are stereotypically very strict on their children, and they're hard, and they want their children to do well, and they go to certain lengths to do that, and they go above and beyond. So yeah, that's what I mean by you look at things in a different perspective, is that you do see things in a different perspective. I haven't gotten to meet his family yet, but with exes, I've actually learned that their families are a little bit more lenient sometimes. And I see when I was dating an ex, his parents allowed a lot of leeway. All their friends were invited over, and it was totally cool. Whereas where I was raised, in the household that I was raised in, it was much more strict, and I wasn't allowed to have friends. So yeah, I did see a little bit of differences between our cultures, I suppose. But I feel like I'm focusing a lot on Vietnamese versus American culture, which is because I'm experiencing it firsthand. There's a whole plethora of different interracial couples, because obviously there's a plethora of other races out there, and unfortunately I'm probably not going to be able to touch base on all of them. But yeah, hopefully you'll enjoy learning about mine. Moving on, number 10, your Halloween couples costumes will be next level. Okay, I read this earlier, and I found it to be wildly racist and offensive sometimes. There's John and Yoko Arnold and Gerald. Oh, Arnold and Gerald from Hey Arnold. Okay, that's kind of cool. Arnold and Gerald. I talked about Hey Arnold in my throwback show. Awesome 90s cartoon. If you guys aren't part of the 90s kids generation, millennial generation, I am so sorry for you because that was an awesome show. John Smith and Pocahontas. Actually, I mentioned this the other, like, literally, I think last night or the night before to my boyfriend. And I actually plan on doing this, but at the same time, I'm going to talk about this actually because I feel like I can incorporate Halloween, offensive Halloween costumes into my show tonight. But dressing up as a Native American when you're not Native American can, if you're not portraying it the right way, can turn out to be very offensive. So I'm going to try my best to match the Disney costume as well as I can without being offensive and just over stereotyping. But there's also Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones from Men in Black and all the other things. And I get that. The topic of Halloween costumes can be very sensitive. So I'm going to move on and we'll talk about costumes probably after the break. Okay, so number 11 is you are literally making the world a better place, according to research. Actually, I'm going to talk about this later in my show because I did find an article on that topic and it's true. Being diversity and is making society more loving, and not just loving, but it's actually creating a lot of thought and creativity and all these different things, because it's like I said, you're constantly learning about other people's cultures, and it's just because of that we are now, it's just the whole melting pot experience. We are creating this new society of people that are no longer binary. I shouldn't say binary, but our cultures aren't so separate anymore. And I'm loving that. And then number 12 is what I've been talking about this whole time is you're in a relationship with someone you love and respect. I know I'm talking about interracial relationships like it's something special, but that doesn't mean being in any type of relationship isn't special. Like gay relationships, LGBT, there's also same race relationship, it's still special. It's being able to share a connection with someone that you love and trust unconditionally is something so beautiful that it's gonna go down in history, I guess. Well, stories are written about it. Love in general is just an awesome topic, and I guess it makes it a little bit different as in diverse, when you're dating someone of a different race. And I like that. I'm going to talk about how people are allowed to have their preferences, and a lot of it can be offensive, and I'm going to talk about that. And I'm going to start with what I have said in the past and what I will keep saying, and I didn't realize that it could be hurtful to some people, is I'm going to be more careful about it, is that I only date white men. And that can be a hard one because that means that I am ruling out every other race out there. And that's not true. It's just my preference is I prefer to date white men. And it's the same thing. If you're white and you prefer brunettes, it's the same thing. And I'm gonna talk about it the other way around when when white men are dating, or people of different races are dating Asian women, they call it yellow fever. And that will just make so many people angry. For me, I like to joke about it because because I think it's funny. I'll hashtag my photos white on rice because I think it's hilarious. But that's because I'm Asian and my boyfriend's white, and that we both are okay with that, and we're both consenting of the fact that it's a joke. But there are Asian people out there that will think that it's completely racist and inappropriate, and I get it. Because I did post something on Tumblr. If you guys don't know what Tumblr is, T-U-M-B-B-L-R. Tumblr is a blogging platform that a lot of people use, and it's a time-sucking leech. I disabled my Tumblr because, like a lot of social media, it's just a waste of my time, and it's so distracting. But anyways, there's an option on Tumblr to anonymously message the person that created the page. And someone was so angry with me, telling me that saying that your boyfriend has yellow fever is completely inappropriate because it's demeaning to our race and blah 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 blah. And to me, I found that kind of hilarious, but at the same time, she's right. And I think that goes to, even with black culture and the surrounding that, there's even more things surrounding that where it's just inappropriate to say certain things to a black person if you're not black. And that's just how society has evolved. And you just, there's a fine line that you have to deal with when it comes to dealing with people of different races. Anyway, so it's time for another break, and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. My show is called The New Normal. It airs Mondays at 5 to 6 p.m. Unfortunately, next week, Monday at 5, will be my last show of this semester, but I may or may not take this class next semester. So stay tuned, and when I come back, I'm going to talk more about diversity. All right. And you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I believe every lie that I ever told, paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. This is my world. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. This is my world. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man. To your questions, I'll be the teacher, you could be the lesson. I'll be the preacher, you be the confession. I'll be the quick relief to all you stressing. It's a thin line between love and hate. Is you really real or is you really fake? I'm a soldier standing on my feet, no surrender. Tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody. Tonight is DJ Cool Kitten coming at you live again from Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. And you're listening to The New Normal, my show where I talk about what all the cool kids are doing. And I'm so sad to tell you that this is my second and last show, which means my last show will be my last. Next week's show will be my last. I'm sorry. Sometimes my thoughts are faster than my words. Something like that. Anyway, what my show this week is about is hashtag melting pot. And I'm talking mostly about diversity and maybe some Halloween fun things. So, but first I'm going to tell you about what I might be talking about next week, which is I think I'm going to talk about New Age and meditation and yoga. But moving on, that was way off topic, I'm sorry. But moving on, what I talked about before was the perks of being in an interracial relationship and how it's become part of the norm these days to be in an interracial relationship. And I'm going to read off another list that I found at cosmopolitan.com. And it's called 12 Unexpected Struggles of Interracial Couples Face. And with that said, I'm probably going to skip a few because sometimes I feel like they're irrelevant. But I'm going to start with number one. When literally no one thinks you're together. I can't say that I've experienced that because I'm very pro PDA, so I'm usually holding hands with my boyfriend or significant other or whatnot, so people don't think I'm single when I'm with them. But this list seems to be taking little excerpts from Reddit. I've talked about Reddit before. It's another social media website where people can post about random things. Just go to www.reddit.com and you'll see what I'm talking about. But yes, it's this quote is, "My husband and I went to Disney World with my side of the family, so there's 11 black people and only one white man. We're in a line, and when it's our turn for the ride, they always cut the line off when it got to him." So I can see how that might be. That's so racist. But people are going to, that's just how society is. People are going to cut to conclusions like that. So maybe eventually that'll change, but yes. And I think a similar concept, but obviously they knew that we were together, is that I kind of ambushed my boyfriend by kind of not telling him that we were going to have dinner with my mom and her friends. And he ended up being the only white person there, and it was a little awkward, and he wasn't able to talk to a whole lot of people because of the language barrier. But yeah, I can see that. Number two, when couple pics require more work than you're used to. I can't relate to this, but I am white, she is black. Taking selfies in the sun is a bitch, says Reddit user EHS5. The picture either turns out way too dark or way too bright. I can see how that could be a problem. But yeah. Okay, so number three. When you both have to adjust to a few linguistic differences. I don't have to adjust to any type of thing because I date a white American guy. But as I talked about before the break, is my boyfriend definitely has to deal with some of the language barriers. Sometimes he can't even understand what my mom is saying. And then I'll have to, I'll have to interpret. So, but yeah, that goes with being in a relationship with someone whose culture is very foreign and their parents or their just family speaks a different language. And I get that. Number four, when people make backhanded comments about your significant other's race. Okay, because I'm dating a white American male, I don't experience a whole lot of that because they are the majority. But I can tell you for a fact that people are going to... I talked about yellow fever and people make that joke with me all the time. And I don't think it's offensive, but a lot of people will. And I'm just going to leave it at that because I already explained it before. When you have to deal with jokes about your race. Yes, okay, same concept. It's yellow fever, I feel like... it's so much harsher than it is. Asian people, I guess we have a yellower undertone to our skin, and that's fine. But for some reason, yellow fever is just really, really offensive to some people. And it's at the same time, it could be even, it could be even related to blackface or things like that. But I don't find it offensive. But yes, there are certain things that you could say that would offend other Asian people. And then there's also a lot of black stereotypes and Latin stereotypes and more for other races. Okay, so when people try to guess your partner's ethnicity, and I'm going to talk about this for a sec, because aside from relationships, I have a friend who is half Japanese and half white, and I myself didn't even know what race she was when I first met her, and I was very cautious of asking her that question. And sometimes there'll be like people asking things in a very blunt way, like saying, "What are you?" And that could be really offensive, but you just have to be careful of that. But she may look Latin or Middle Eastern, and other people in my classes, there are so many. And let me tell you, half interracial babies are just very beautiful anyway. And like every other human being, everyone is beautiful. So, number 7, when people hit on you or your significant other because they don't think you're a couple. Like I said before, I don't relate to this because I'm pro PDA, but I've seen it happen to other people, and it's very well, I feel like it's very well interpreted in the media as well. People, just because you guys don't look like you would be together doesn't mean that you aren't together. In fact, actually, if you looked at my boyfriend and looked at me separately, even just personality-wise and interest-wise, we are so different. And people, if you saw us separately, you probably wouldn't think we were together. But together, it just works. And that's just another beauty of being in an interracial relationship, I guess. When your kids aren't sure of how to self-identify. Okay, so what I'm going to say is, there's this, is my same friend that's half Japanese, half white. Her mother is Japanese, and she looks primarily, I wouldn't say she looks white. Like I said, she looks different. She looks like a different, she doesn't look Asian. I'm going to say that. And when she, her mother, and she would tell me these stories about them being in the grocery store, and people would ask things like, "Oh, are you the babysitter, or is she adopted?" and things like that. And it's just, it's difficult, and it is it's just a struggle. It's a struggle, and it can be offensive to some people. When you're surprised by who accepts you as a couple and who doesn't. I haven't experienced that yet, but I feel like this is a very true for, actually, no, my mother didn't accept me and my exes as a couple for a long time because she didn't like them, primarily because they were white, and that's it. It's sad, but it's true, and that goes to show, I'm actually going to tell you a story about how my cousin was dating this white guy in college, and they were together for about 3 or 4 years, and she went to go meet his family, and was that the first time? No, they met before, but she overheard the parents talking smack about Vietnamese people, and she was really offended, and she went and talked to her boyfriend, and he didn't back her up. And with that, like any respected, like with anyone with self-respect would do, is she left and never spoke to him again. And it's just, that happens. That happens, and it's really sad when that does happen. And I feel like when you're looking for a partner, you should find someone whose family will accept you for who you are and accept you to be part of their family. But anyway, it's time for a break. Again, you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. My show is called The New Normal. It airs every Mondays at 5 to 6, but unfortunately, next week is going to be my last show of the semester. But I may or may not be back next semester. We'll see. And yes, I will be back with you after the break.
The old world shadows hang heavy in the air. She packed her hopes and dreams like a refugee. Just as her father came across the sea.
Cool Kitten, and we're back from the break. Unfortunately, I lost track of time, and it is almost time for the next show, but I just wanted to tell you what my show is about today. It was called Hashtag Melting Pot, and I talked all about diversity, and I wanted to cover things. I had an article called How Diversity Makes Us Smarter, and that was on scientificamerican.com, so if you guys are interested in that, I would totally Google it. Super interesting, because it talks about how diversity is actually shaping our society, and it's actually having a lot of positive impacts on our interactions with other people, and it's creating a lot of creativity and critical thinking, and it's making us essentially think differently and therefore smarter, quote unquote. So other than that, I also wanted to talk about some really offensive Halloween costumes, but I'm off the top of my head. I saw one that was, oh, actually, this one's always around. It's like I talked about how Native American costumes can be very offensive if you, everything, okay, first of all, anything that you slutify, I want to put quotes around that, is there are things like geisha costumes that people will cut short and make the boobage more clear, and it's just so offensive, and it's not part, in fact, geishas are very, very conservative people, and you don't, I mean, of course, they are prostitutes, but they're still conservative prostitutes, if that makes sense. But also, sombreros, wearing sombreros and being a Mexican for Halloween, also offensive, and there are even just people doing blackface. There's less of that now because it causes a lot of outrage in the media, but blackface is not okay. In fact, There's also something, I think, in the past, with Pink Panther, the old movie, there was white people would have to pay, play Asians because it wasn't, there were less Asian actors out there, and it was less, it just wasn't appropriate for there to be an Asian actor in films in the past, and people would have to draw Asian eyes and squint, and that would be, it's so wildly racist, and there are videos on that topic on YouTube as well, so I would Google that if you ever get the chance. And anyway, I just wanted to wish you guys all a happy Halloween. My next show will be my last show. It's going to be on next Monday at 5 to 6, as always. And I'm going to be talking about meditation and yoga and how that's become a new thing in society. And yeah, anyway, it was nice talking to you guys again. And the next show coming up is the 808, I think. And oh my gosh, it's escaping me. And yes, with DJ Ho Alohe, I think. Oh my god, I'm sorry guys. Yeah, okay, so anyways, happy Halloween, and it's time for all things Hawaiian. Okay, and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. bye.